Good morning. It is certainly a beautiful morning, a beautiful Lord's Day, and it's an honor to be here, to come together and meet with you here at Mount Carmel. I consider it a wonderful privilege. I thank you for having the confidence in me to ask me to come and speak to you. And I have looked forward to it ever since I was asked, and I have been really excited about it. My grandson a little bit ago asked me, said, do you get nervous? Yeah, I still get nervous occasionally. But I want to say this, that ever since I came and met you here, I thank you so much for the warm love and kindness and the smiles and the hugs that you have given me and made me and my wife feel at home. We really do enjoy coming and being here. I hope and pray that I can say something this week that will cause us to be a little more aware of our duty in serving the Lord. We're here in a time when really it's a struggle to live a Christian life. It's not something that is really just handed to us or easy. It's something that is, you know, we have to work at it. We have to build and try to do that which is pleasing to the Lord when we have these forces of evil all around us tugging at us and trying to cause us to do other things. And many times we kind of give in. So it's very important that we refresh our minds with the pure, plain scriptures of the doctrine and not forget why we're here, the purpose that we're here, and what we are to do in service unto the Lord. And I hope that I can bring something out through the week that will cause us to realize the importance of our life here on this earth. I want to say this. I'm human. If I make a mistake, if I say something that you disagree with me on, please tell me. I trust that I won't, but if I do, please let me know, because what I want you to do is take the word from God's word and not mine. I just want to be a little help to you that maybe will cause you to think and realize the importance of our life here on this earth. This morning, I want to begin by talking about building a home. All of us in normal life, not all of us, but many of us, have had a hand in constructing a home, or, you know, to some degree, maybe we've actually built our own home. I know that the last two homes that I have lived in, and the one I'm living in now, I had to have a hands-on to build it, to construct it. I had a contractor in this last home that was building it, and he didn't turn out to do and build it the way according to the codes. He didn't do a good job, so I had to step in and take that over. So I can vouch for the fact that building a house is sometimes a difficult thing. It's not something that is really easy. You know, you have bricks, you have mortar, plumbing, electrical, sheetrock, all of these different things that you have to deal with going into constructing a house. And it's a job sometimes. But when you get your house built, then what do? When the house is built, after you get this home constructed and you do all these things, you have all these rooms in there that you got to put something in it. You got to fill it up. And we all want certain things, different things. Each one of us have different ideas as to how we want to decorate. I know my wife, she likes one thing, and maybe I like something else, but I usually give in. But I'm sure there's a lot of us that do that. But the thing is, we all have to have certain things to fill that house. Walmart. I don't recall too many weeks that have been by that I haven't been to Walmart. In fact, I went to it last week, and I'm getting older, and of course I forgot what I went down there to get. And I got home and I thought about it, and believe it or not, I had to go back again. But we go to Walmart quite a bit. So that's one place you can go to buy things to put inside the house. Not only Walmart, Home Depot. Oh, I like to go to Home Depot because they got so many different things there that you can use in filling this house up. And then there's Lowe's. Lowe's, Home Depot, pretty much the same. And it's got many different things that we can use in the house. Also, J.C. Penney's. And these are just a few. I like to go to Penney's every once in a while. We have a place over home called Kohl's. And there's many different places that you can go, all kind of antique stores, and we are truly blessed in this country to where that we have these places that we can go and buy things and put in our home, aren't we? We are. We're really blessed with that. So, some of us like early Americans. These are the things that some of us like. I like early Americans. Traditional. Maybe you like traditional. Maybe this modern that you like, the modern things. Well, the fact is that we all have different ideas, and the fact is that we have a home, a house, and any one of us, we can fill it with beautiful things that we desire. There's plenty there for us to look over. The Bible describes to us something that is far more valuable than building a house. You know what that is? God's Word, His Word, tells us how to build a home. And this applies to single people. How do you build your home? Single people, married people, the newlyweds, all of us here, how do you build your home? Well, if you look over in Proverbs, the 24th chapter, and the first four verses, we want to read this. It says, "Be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them." Now, I want you to remember that scripture because we're going to come back to it in a little bit. There's a lot of importance in this one verse. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house and house building, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So now we're talking about how we're to furnish the home. We're to furnish the home with wisdom. With wisdom and with knowledge. And the meaning of the word wisdom is this. It's skill. That's what it means. The Hebrew word for wisdom means skill. Our skill. Just like a contractor, he needs skill to build a house. He needs to have a knowledge of how to build this house. We need skills to build a home. It's very important. Solomon says the skills you need to build your home comes from the Word of God. It comes from knowing God. It comes from respecting God. It comes from loving God. And it comes from listening to God through His Word and talking to God. Very, very important about talking to God. This is one of the key ingredients. Solomon understood the need for prayer. He understood that. And over in Solomon in 1 Kings 3, 5 through 15, he asked God there for wisdom. In Proverbs 15 and 8, he tells us there, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." Also in Proverbs 15 and 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Just like we need certain ingredients and certain materials to build a house, concrete, wood, bricks, all of this, different qualities, qualities are used in building a home, and that comes through wisdom. Solomon, he warned against building a home with envy, building that home with envy in Proverbs 4 and 1. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. That's the scripture we were talking about. What is he saying there? Be not thou envious against evil men, neither to desire to be with them. See, are you dissatisfied with what you have? A lot of people are. What they want what someone else has had or got. You know, they see what maybe you have, and they look at that, and they say, well, if I just had what they have, then I'll be happy. You know, not satisfied with what you have. Being envious. You want what someone else has. If I just had what they had, then I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't be happy. There's a big difference. There is a huge difference between happiness that depends on what you have and joy that comes from God's Word. It's a completely different thought. Happiness is I go to the auto dealer and I buy me an automobile, a truck. I like it. I'm happy with it. I drive down the road and I am just really excited with it. I like it for a week or two. And then all of a sudden, here comes one driving by and it's different. And I look at it and I see it and I say, I really want one of them. So I'm not as happy as I was in the beginning. So happiness kind of comes and goes. Joy, though, on the other hand, think about it. The joy that we have in the wisdom of the Lord, knowing in Him we have that hope of eternal life, it's much better than what we have here on this earth. What a joy that is. No one can take that from us. That is really the difference. The joy that comes from the wisdom and knowledge of God. Praying to God, sharing with Him, depending upon Him, leaning upon Him, it leads us to wisdom that we need to build this home that we're talking about. Prayer is so important. Prayer enables you to establish this home with understanding. You have to have it. You have to have the understanding and the knowledge to be able to build a home. You know, if you allow the standards of this world to dictate to you how you build your home, it's going to fall. It's going to topple. It's not going to stand. We need to go to the right source. It's like me. I did electrical work my life, and when I got out of school, high school, I went and took another schooling in electrical work, and I worked in that, and I went and obtained the knowledge so that I could do that particular type of work. But I didn't go to a school where they taught plumbing to do electrical work. No. I didn't go to a school where they taught carpenters. That's not where I went. I went to the school where they taught the subject. We need to go to the school of understanding God's Word, through His Word, in His Word. And we do that through prayer. Ask God to help. Praying to God enables you to look at the heart of the matter, of the trouble, the issues, and whatever is at stake, and make the right choices in life to fill that home with whatever is needed. Prayer is so important. And God listens. He's there. He listens to what we have to say. It enables you to furnish your home with knowledge. Prayer does. Where do you turn for answers? Where do you turn for answers when you're looking for something, you turn to people. Well, that's good. You can talk to some people, and that tends to help you. But I had a woman one time told me, I asked her a question about the scriptures, and she said, I don't study. Said, we pay our priest to do the study, and he goes to college. So, you know, I turn to him. What a bad situation that can be, to put your trust in a person. No. We need to pray to God for knowledge and understanding and study on our own, that He will help us. You can go to the internet. I tell you, the internet has come a long way. Anything that you want to know about anything, just about, you can put it in there on Google and it'll pop up and just get an abundance of information. But we have to be real careful, don't we? Books. I love books. I have a library with many books that I turn to occasionally. And I go on certain subjects, I'll pull the books out and I'll look and read, and they help. But I find that a lot of them are not according to God's Word. So you've got to be real careful. The radio, you can turn the radio on. I listen to it occasionally, and I hear teachers on there. You can hear them, and you have to be careful and listen to what they're telling you and examine. Videos, the television. There's all kind of sources of information. But these sources of information, they can be a blessing and they can be a curse. We need to look at it very, very carefully. Turn back to Proverbs 24, 1 and 4 and see what Solomon, he teaches there. What does he tell us? He says, do not desire to be with evil men. Now, what he's telling me here is that I need to be very careful who I hang out with and who I go to run around with and be with, because they have an influence in my life, especially to the young people. If you're coming up, you know, you're going to have friends that's outside the church. Of course, we all have that, but I'm saying that you're at that point in your life, you've been in school, and you have many friends. Their influence on you. We have to be very, very careful. And that's why he tells us, desire, he says, prefer one another. You know, it goes back to the point that we made. If I go to study a particular trade, I go to that place, that school that teaches that. So if I'm wanting to be a Christian, which we should, we need to hang out with Christians. We need to make sure that we are not with evil people. Now, we get to a point of who's evil? Well, you know, a lot of us have a misconception about evil. We think sometimes that evil is good. Now, I'm pretty plain spoken, and I hope I don't offend anyone in this. And I don't do it to offend anyone. But thinking of evil, who is evil? Those that are not with Christ. He says, you're either with me or you're against me. Those that are outside the body of Christ, who are they? They are workers for Satan. Oh, yes. Yes, if you're not serving Christ and you're not doing what He has told us to do, then you're a worker for Satan. There's kind of no in-between ground. So you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. It's not that I can't speak to anyone that's out in the world. I have some friends that are in denominations. They do not serve the Lord the way the Lord asks. But I don't want to particularly hang out with them, because some of their influence may rub off on me. You know, I teach them, I try to talk to them, and there's nothing wrong with being friendly to those in the world. But when he says, don't desire to be with evil people. You know, we need to, because of influence, because of building your home, the knowledge and all, the influence can go against you. So what we want to do is desire and prefer to be with one another. Love one another, be with one another, build one another up. And what a blessing it is to be in that way. He tells us, Solomon does, that praying to God can give you understanding. You can discern between good and evil. Which is good and which is evil. Which is the best for you. Prayer is so important. This scripture here that we're talking about in Proverbs 24:1 refers to what you do outside the home and what you bring into your home. In Philippians 4:5-7, it tells us there, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Building your home begins and ends with prayer. That's where it starts. And that's where it ends. When you've done all that you know to do, when you have done your best, you feel like that you've done your best, you need to turn the matter over to the Lord. Better yet than that, before you've done anything, you need to turn it over to the Lord for help. Building your home begins and ends with prayer. It enables you to build with wisdom. It enables you to build with understanding. It enables you to build with knowledge. Because you pray, great things happen. There's a wonderful lesson for us over in John, the 11th chapter. And this lesson here is about Lazarus. And the story is that Lazarus was sick. He was at the point of death. And Mary and Martha couldn't leave the bedside. They couldn't leave him. So what they needed was someone to go and get Jesus. Go tell Jesus that the one that they love and the one that Jesus loved was sick. Now this someone, we read between the lines and know that they had to have approached him and asked him to go, because it tells us there that they got someone to go. This someone, it doesn't matter what his race was or gender or his education or none of that. The point is this that we see here. They came to him and asked him to go. You know, there's probably a lot of people that couldn't go or didn't want to go or whatever the excuse might have been. It's just like today in certain things that you ask someone to do and it's all kind of excuses. But this particular someone went. He went to Jesus. He went the whole way. He walked the walk. He made it to where Jesus was at. They could have got somebody that, you know, would have went partway and give up and turned around and went back. But no, they got this person to go and go tell Jesus. And what happened? When Jesus found out about this, he told them there that, Jesus, you need to come, that Lazarus is sick. Jesus stopped what he was doing and he took note. And he paid attention to what he was asked. Well, you know, there's those that might say, regard this as secondary, says that, you know, that Jesus knew everything. Well, that's true. Jesus may have known it, and Jesus may have responded without this man coming and telling him, without someone coming and telling him, Jesus, look, you know, you need to come. He might have went anyway. We don't know that for sure, but the point is this. These scriptures are there for our learning, and we understand that someone went to Jesus. And when someone went to Jesus, this triggered action, didn't it? The point is this, that when we pray to God, you know, he hears us. He listens, and the timer is set. See, Jesus didn't go right then and go straight to Lazarus and raise him up. No, it was a few days later, wasn't it? Yes. But the point is this, though, that the timer was set when prayer came about. When the man went and made the request, timer was set and action began. So, we need to think about that. Because we pray, things are going to happen. You can talk to God because He listens. Your voice matters in heaven. It absolutely does. Even if you stammer or stutter or murder the English language, it doesn't matter. God knows He's listening and He is going to pay attention to what we have to say. So action begins in heaven when someone prays on earth. And John, he told his disciples, he goes on to write to his disciples, he said there, I will do whatever you ask, what in my name, Jesus said, so that the Son may be glorified to the Father. You may ask, and what does he say? If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now I want us to pay close attention to these scriptures right here. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. See, what we ask for, we need to ask for it so that it will glorify the Father. And in Jesus' name, that would be glorifying the Father. Whatever we ask, if you ask anything in my name, he says, I will do it. In John 15 and 16, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he shall give it to you. Now, there's a mistaken idea that many people have. Let me read this next verse. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. But there's a mistaken thing that happens in our minds. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him. He heareth us. Now, ready to get to the point that I was trying to get ahead of myself. You know, there's a lot of people that have this mistaken idea about prayer. They feel that, you know, we come to church Lord's Day morning. It's good to be here. We'll be here this afternoon, and we'll come back maybe on Wednesday evening, or we'll come back through the meeting, through the services. And we get on our knees, and we get maybe 5 or 10 minutes worth of prayer, and we feel like that the Lord in heaven is a big vending machine, and we can stick that quarter hour of prayer in that vending machine, and all kind of things just fall out. We ask for all kind of things, and He just gives us all of these different things. Well, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is. It is clear that prayer is not a blank check, so to speak, from God. It's not. It's not a blank check. It takes two to sign it. A lot of people have this mistaken idea that prayer requires the counter signature. It's like a two-party check where it takes two signatures. It takes two signatures. It takes your signature, it takes Jesus' signature, and it also takes the stamp of approval from our Father when we ask Him. So, you know, when we ask, make sure that you ask in His name things that will glorify the Father. The question is not, does God have the power to meet our needs, but rather it is, do we have the faith and presence of mind to ask these things? It's very clear that we ask for certain things that will glorify the Father. You know, many people think that, well, I want a new automobile. I'm going to pray for that, and the Lord will give it. Maybe we don't need a new automobile. Maybe that's not really what we need. You know, the children, our children, many times they ask for just all sorts of different things that we don't want to give them because it's harmful to them. I know when I was coming up, I wanted certain things. I wanted a rifle before I got to the age to where my dad was a hunter, and I thought when I was 6 years old or seven, I remember, I wanted one. And finally, I got a BB gun, and there was a man on a road scraper, and he come by, and I shot him for the BB gun. So I found out right quick that, you know, I didn't need that BB gun. And but what I'm saying is, there's times when, you know, we think that we want certain things, and we feel like that we need these things, but our Father knows best. Our Heavenly Father knows best. You know, it's pretty plain how that He watches and He gives us the things that we need. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Father knows best. Ephesians 3:20. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I thought this was real cute. I wanted to show you this. It says, "Dear Lord," this Tweety Bird, "so far today, I'm doing all right. I have not gossiped, lost my temper, been greedy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or self-indulgent. I have not whined, complained, cursed, or eaten any chocolate. I have charged nothing on my credit card. But I'll be getting out of bed in a minute, and I think that I will really need your help then." Think about that. See, we need to pray to God for things that He is willing to give us. We need the Lord's help. There's things that we do and are confronted with in our daily life, and we need our Heavenly Father to help us through these things. And He can do that, and He will do that. The only thing we got to do is pray and talk to Him in a good and honest heart. And He'll listen. He's all powerful. You remember the old Superman movies back years ago? I remember Jim Olsen and Lois Lane. You remember how all that come about? Usually they were captured and tied up and took and put in a basement in the building. There'd be a bomb sitting over there, and you know, it always worked out, whoever wrote the plot, always. So there's one thing they forgot, they left a phone there. And they would try to get untied, and this ticker on the bomb was going off, and it was going to destroy the city. And what they were trying to do, Olsen and Lois Lane, they were trying to get untied so that they could get on the phone, call Superman. See, Superman would, you know, come and stop. Any six-year-old kid knew that Superman, he was stronger than dynamite. The whole plot was that. Well, that's a pretty interesting little story. You know, we've seen them over the years. But really, you know, you stop and think about it. God is our Superman. And all He expects us to do is to talk to Him. To let Him know our problems. Let Him know our troubles. And He says whatever we ask, He'll solve those problems for us. So we need wisdom. Let's ask Him for wisdom. He can give it to us. But we need to do it sincere. There's a lot of people that ask and talk to Him that are not sincere in what they're asking. We need to be sincere. I don't know whether you've ever been looking for scriptures or a thought might come in your mind and you're looking for guidance and trying to find out where it's at in the Bible. And, you know, I've done it over and over, and I pray and ask the Lord to help me and understand. And it's good any time we study that we pray for understanding and wisdom. But then all of a sudden, it might be a day later, I'd be doing something. I might be out cutting grass or doing something. All of a sudden, it pops in my head, and there it is. You know, that's the Lord speaking to us. He's telling us I can go back and look, and there it is. That's what I was looking for. That's the thought that I needed for the understanding of whatever it is. If we try to do it on our own, try to divide the scriptures without His guidance, so many times we're going to be misled. We're going to follow the wrong path. We're not going to do that which He would have us do. Building your home begins and ends with prayer. God is willing to give it to us. Many times we don't know exactly how He's going to do it, but He does. He always helps us with wisdom. He helps us with understanding, and He furnishes us with knowledge. He'll give it to us, whatever we're asking for, in His name. I want to tell you a little humor story. You may have heard this before. I thought it was pretty good. It goes along with this line of thought from this lesson. There was a lady that was a Christian lady, and she prayed to God regularly, and she prayed out loud. And this one particular day, she was in her house and had the windows open, and she started praying to God, and right next door was this atheist. Didn't believe in God. And he heard this lady praying. And she prayed for various different items that she needed. And it was, you know, the milk and the bread and different things. She was just praying away. This atheist, he heard it, and he wrote all this down. And just as soon as she said amen, he goes, gets his car and goes to the store and buys all these items, comes back, slips over to the lady's house, puts it on the door, steps, rang the doorbell. The lady comes out and looks down, and lo and behold, there was all the items that she had prayed for. And she looked up and said, "Oh God, thank you so much for providing me with the things that I asked for." About that time, the atheist, he jumped out of the bushes and said, "No, no, no, I got you now." Said, "The Lord didn't provide that for you." He held up a receipt, said, "See, here's a receipt. I paid for it." She looked up again and says, "Oh Lord, you're smarter than I thought you were. You provided me with all of these items, and you got the devil to pay for it." I thought that was pretty good. You know, it's just a little humor. But see, there's a lot of times we pray for certain things in our life, and yeah, it just doesn't fall out right then on us. I mean, it just doesn't hit us right then when we think that it should. It's just like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They thought that Jesus would just come flying right then, but there was a purpose in it, wasn't it? There was a purpose for waiting. And Jesus came and did what He was asked. See, when we pray, you know, I think, to me, and this is just my thoughts, I think sometimes when I pray for something, it doesn't happen right then. I think He's sitting there watching me and seeing how I'm going to act. Am I going to lose faith, or am I going to turn and try to approach it some other way, or am I going to be patient and wait till my Heavenly Father answers my prayer the way that He should, the way that He knows best for us? So, because you pray, think about it. Great things happen. We're living in a world full of sin. Everywhere you turn, we need to pray for many different things to help us get through this life. But remember this, when we pray, we need to pray in the name of our Father, His Son, Jesus Christ. It's important that through His name that we talk to God. You know, there's no one that we go to now to pray on our behalf or pray through like they do in some of these denominations. No, we have a direct line to our Heavenly Father. We can approach the throne See, when we overcome the world of sin, when we overcome, and we do that when we are buried in baptism, and we become a member of the Lord's church, we have overcome the ways of the world. We have access at that point in time to the throne of God. Yes, we do. We have access to the throne of God, to the tree of life. We have that in the church. And we can go to our Heavenly Father and pray to Him, and He will listen. We need to do that. Prayer is such a wonderful thing in building a home. You can't build it without it. You can try, but if you don't put God in the forefront and let Him direct us and tell us and give us the knowledge and education, you'll be a failure. You'll never make it to that place called heaven. We've got to put our trust in God. We've got to believe in Him and let Him do our battles for us. And He'll do that. We're just instruments of His. We turn our life over to Him. We hear the word, believe it, repent of our sins, confess Christ, and buried in baptism. That washes away. If you've never obeyed the gospel, there's not a better time than now to do it. We don't want to keep putting off because the world is getting worse and worse. It's getting more wicked. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know about our next breath. If we are not a Christian, then we're not going to enter into heaven. It's plain and simple according to the teachings of the Scriptures. If you have not been washed of your sins, you're not going to enter into that place called heaven. As one that's never done that, please do. Don't put it off. And if you've done that, you know, we go through life making mistakes. We're not perfect. By no means. I make mistakes, you do, I sin, and you sin. Most of our sins are of a private nature. I'm bad about going down the road and somebody cut me off and I think evil, boy, you know, I want to run you in the ditch or something. You know, that's not a Christian attitude. I think of things that I shouldn't. You do too. I'm sure you do. Maybe it's an evil thought. Or maybe you say an unkind word to somebody outside the church. Most of our sins are not of a public nature. Go to God in prayer. Ask Him to forgive us. And He will. He said He will. But if we've done something that has been an offense against a brother or a sister, the church, you know, if it's one brother, go to him or sister and talk to them and ask forgiveness, work it out. But if the church knows about it and it's a problem there, what better time is it to come forward and confess that fault and make it right? He says confess our faults one to another. So if there's one here that has never obeyed the gospel, we'll be glad to assist. One that needs a prayer to the church as we stand and sing, we'll be glad to help.